From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. It's Idaho Matters. Sleep-related problems affect somewhere between 50 to 70 million Americans. It's according to the American Sleep Apnea Association. Sleep is a public health concern. Dr. Eric Prather is a world-renowned sleep scientist and an expert clinician who believes he's cracked the code to helping even the most restless sleepers get a good night's rest. He sat down with Jim Agudat to talk more about this, as well about his new book, The Sleep Prescription, 7 Days to Unlocking Your Best Rest. Let's take a listen.
Dr. Prather, talk to us first just about, this issue, because I think sometimes people think, oh, it's sleep apnea or it's some type of, sleep disorder. But so many people suffer from insomnia or just not getting good sleep or enough sleep.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I mean, obstructive sleep apnea, I will say, is a pretty big problem and often underdiagnosed. Yeah. But in the general population, kind of insufficient amounts of sleep for whatever cause is a big problem. You know, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine recommends getting at least 7 hours of sleep per night to maintain optimal health for an adult, and most people aren't getting that. Or many are not. And that can have long-term effects on health, whether it be our cardiovascular health, our metabolism, weight gain, and kind of growing evidence that insufficient amounts of sleep may put people at risk for things like neurodegenerative diseases, like Alzheimer's disease.
Well, I'm a huge sleep advocate. I have two children, 14 and 11. And, when they were little and even now, I make sure that they sleep. I was such a stickler for sleep because I'm like, I don't care where you sleep, but it's like everybody needs to sleep and you need to get the right amount of sleep. So, I think within our culture, maybe this is changing some, but it's kind of always been, people boast about, well, I can sleep on 6 hours of sleep. I'm like, that's nice. I'll take 8 anytime.
Yeah. I do like to think that like the collective consciousness is kind of waking up to the importance of sleep. But, I do think it is a problem. I think there is a tendency, we're kind of doers, right? We're fixers. Mm-hmm. We're kind of working, constantly. And, that can be at the cost of getting a good night's sleep. And I think oftentimes people don't recognize kind of the decrements that occur when people don't get sufficient amounts of sleep. I like to think that like when people get the sleep they need, kind of they're the best version of themselves. We know from all the experimental data that, people who sleep better, who get better sleep are kind of better parents. They're better partners. They're more creative. They're more productive. They're more empathetic. We can better regulate our stress response and our health outcomes look a lot better. And so, why wouldn't someone want to ensure that they're getting the sleep they need to really function the best they can?
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I can always tell when one of my kids doesn't get enough sleep, and in particular, my youngest, and I'll say like, you didn't get enough sleep, right? And then I'll say to him like, you didn't get enough sleep. And then he yells at me, yes, I did. And I'm like, and there you go.
That's right. Yeah. People are more irritable. People tend to get more anxious. There's a good link insufficient sleep and depression. There's lots of things.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, and you're irritating me more. What would be just your first simple kind of basic piece of advice then for someone who is struggling with sleep?
Yeah. I think there's like obviously the kind of sleep hygiene things that everybody needs to have on board to start, right? So that's like, a bedroom that is kind of a shrine to sleep, kind of that's dark and quiet and cool. But in addition to that, we really want to make sure that kind of our bodies know what is supposed to happen. Predictability is really important to regulating sleep. And so one way in which we start doing that is by maintaining a stable wake time. So mm-hmm. that helps entrain our circadian clock, and it kind of sets in motion our sleep drive that's really important for helping us sleep. And so, if there's one thing that I can have people do just to start off is to kind of find a wake time that they can stick to 7 days a week. And then, we use energy the same pretty much from day to day. And so people will begin to get sleepier around the same time each night. But for people with insomnia, we don't want to put the pressure on and say, you need to be asleep by this time, because that can be really distressing. And so, mm-hmm. you know, by setting the wake time, that helps alleviate that concern.
So I know that you've helped hundreds of patients improve their sleep with cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that? Because I have to say, I have always been a very sound sleeper. I'm very lucky in that regard. I don't have an issue, but I will tell you the one time that I found myself having insomnia or like anxiety was when the lockdown happened with COVID. And,
sure.
you know, I was tired and I'd, you know, go to bed. And all of a sudden, like the moment I closed my eyes, my brain went crazy. And it yeah. took a couple of, I would say like a month or so. And finally I was like, you just, you know, it kind of like, you just have to start calming yourself down at night. So I have a tiny little understanding of insomnia, but I think it's also difficult for people to understand what that's like if they've not suffered from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely something where kind of people with insomnia feel like they're chasing sleep. Like it's become so unpredictable that they really want to make sure that they can set everything up to be in the right place at the right time, right? So when people have insomnia, they often like go to bed extra early and lay in bed because they don't know when sleep's going to come, right? And they spend a lot of effort thinking about kind of what they can do to make sure they get good sleep tonight. And that kind of distress, that kind of worrying, you know, certainly isn't really compatible with sleeping. Also, people just, you know, just spend an excessive time in bed not sleeping. And that's, you know, that actually feeds insomnia. So what happens is you know, these behaviors that individuals with insomnia do to try to kind of fix their sleep actually ends up undermining how sleep works. And so cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia really kind of approaches and, you know, kind of resetting that, restructuring sleep, kind of taking the guesswork out of it, and then working on the cognitions that people have developed about their sleep and challenging them so that they can, you know, regain a mastery and honestly kind of stop thinking about sleep, because sleep is something that is not something we make happen, right? Like sleep is something that happens to us. And I always say that like no one even wonders how sleep works until it stops. And then you become hyper-focused on it. And that is kind of the experience of insomnia. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I know that you have said to at least one insomnia patient, or you've said this to a few, is it's not a nighttime problem, it's a daytime problem. And I mean, you even just now describing how folks with insomnia are thinking about sleep and will they get sleep and how will they sleep, just hearing that kind of stresses me out. And I'm like, well, no wonder they're not sleeping.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the nighttime versus daytime problem, you know, that really, you know, has to do with, you know, people have insomnia, but it's often that they also don't have the opportunity to sleep, right? Mm. I mean, you know, if you have a daytime that is so jam-packed that it's kind of eating into any opportunity for sleep, then, you know, no matter what we do around kind of scheduling and cognitions and all that is going to be for nothing in some cases, because you're just not building in the time to make that investment. Right. I mean, ensuring that you have a ample wind down period and something that like allows your body to calm down and relax, to turn down that vigilance that you were describing, you know, all of those things are really important to allow sleep to happen naturally. And so if your day is such that it doesn't allow for that, then, you know, we really maybe don't need to address the night as much. And it's more about addressing your day and figuring out how to kind of live a more balanced life.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, you said like these wind down activities. You know, I think about when our children are little and the time that we spend with them, getting them to sleep, and not necessarily, you know, like that whole, it's the wind down activity, right? I mean, I remember like it reading to my kids, right? And the light was low and rocking them and all, you know, all, I still have a nighttime activity, you know, routine with my youngest. And it, you know, but it seems as we age and we become adults, everything that calmed us as children or what we even do for our own children goes out the window. And in your opinion, I mean, do we almost kind of need to kind of get back to how it was when we were kids?
Well, I mean, you know, potentially. And I think, you know, a lot of those things, you know, in addition to kind of, you know, being low with respect to kind of sensory input, right? Kind of lighting and kind of the calming things. There's also something about the ritual, right? Like, you know, that that is an input around predictability. You know, like our brain is constantly taking in information to try. It's a predicting machine. And so the more the data that it brings in is more predictable, the kind of the better the predictions are. And so I think those rituals can play a really big role in kind of letting your body know what's supposed to happen next.
So let's talk a little bit too about stress and sleep, because as I mentioned, the only time I've ever had an issue was when the lockdown first happened. And it that, I mean, that was full on stress related anxiety, and I could not sleep.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a hard time for everyone. And, you know, certainly insomnia symptoms had an uptick. You know, some people did a little bit better with their sleep because there was remote working. They had more control over their schedule. But it was certainly a hard time, and hopefully something that we're coming back from. But in our clinic, you know, there was an uptick in just people that needed help, and hopefully this book will be able to help some of those people that are still struggling.
The sleep prescription includes methods for improving the quantity and the quality of your sleep, and you talk about stick your head in a freezer and start drinking afternoon coffee. What is the science behind this?
Yeah, I mean, we know that kind of cold exposure can kind of, you know, shock the system, right? It can increase alertness, it can increase your sympathetic nervous system. And so we're looking for things that, you know, ideally can do that. You know, we do have some experimental evidence out in the world that kind of, you know, cold exposure can produce that. People do polar plunges that produce that. And so we're just looking for alternatives that are novel. But also you could get kind of a brisk walk in the afternoon and it might produce the same effect. So, you know, it was just something catchy and just a way to avoid getting that extra cup of caffeine.
That was sleep expert Dr. Eric Prather speaking with Jim Gaudette about his new book, The Sleep Prescription, 7 Days to Unlocking Your Best Rest. It's available now. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.
Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.